I might get carried away here. And James, that was, I don't know. I need to get you up here more often. The calling of God. Paul says, I count all things lost, verse 8 or 9 in that area or something. You can count it as dung, rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, but which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Philippians 3. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Oh, isn't it nice today to be standing here or sitting here and knowing that you've trusted your lives to God and the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. It's so sweet. It's such a beautiful place of rest and comfort and peace for us this morning, if you've done that. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Oh, and just, you know, stop on that for just a minute. It almost reads like Paul's working it, trying to make sure he's going to get saved and raised from the dead. That is not at all what he's saying here. What he's saying here is that I want to live in the power of the resurrection. I want, the Bible teaches us that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead will bring life to our mortal bodies. And so Paul's saying, look, guys, I want to live in resurrection power. Jesus is alive. The Word of God is living and powerful. I want to live in this resurrection. Jesus isn't on the cross. He's not in the grave. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us 24/7. He's alive. And He wants to talk and commune and visit with us and bless us. And that's what Paul's saying. I want to live in that power of knowing that He's alive, that He's not dead. He's living and He wants to have that fellowship and communion with me all the time. And with that in mind, whether I'm going through trials and hard times and difficulties or whether I'm in exaltation, either way, I know that I can find the Lord and have fellowship with Him in that. And we need to understand sometimes that the fellowship of suffering is part of knowing Jesus. He calls Himself the God of all comfort, doesn't He? Then how can we find the God of all comfort unless we're in a place that we need to be comforted of the Lord? And so sometimes some of our most precious moments of intimacy with the Lord are when we find ourselves in great need and despair and hurt. And without that, we would miss a big part of the Christian walk. And shame on those that teach that you have to be healthy and wealthy and have all these kinds of things all the time where it's from the enemy. Shame on that. They're rejecting the Word of God. And I count precious sometimes the moments I have with the Lord when He can be the God of all comfort to me, to my family. It's a sweet thing. I want to turn over to Romans 8 real quickly and just sort of touch on this idea. I'm convinced now after just the last couple of weeks and getting a little break last weekend that we are, as a church, are going to be here to present the Word of God, to rightly divide it, to expositionally teach it, and that's going to be our calling card. It's not going to be anything to draw, I would say, other than that God is good and He wants you saved. And once you're saved, He wants to disciple you and grow you up and conform you into the image of Christ. He does that through the Word of God. So it says in verse 28 of Romans 8, and everybody's familiar with it, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And that, you know, that's a verse, and you get it on a card or these kind of things, and often we just see that highlighted or something, but let's go on with it and see what it's actually talking about. To those who are the called according to His purpose, and I underline His there, for whom he foreknew he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I'm not a Calvinist and I'm not an Arminianist, but I believe what this is saying here is that God knows everything. He knows the past from the future, and he knows every single person on the planet that will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, receive him into their hearts. He knows that. He knows it before time began. He knew that. And so that is what that's saying. And he prearranged, he planned, his plan was for us to be just like Jesus. He knew everybody that would receive Jesus from the very beginnings of time, and he planned that we would be like Jesus. That's predestined to be conformed into the image. And so when we take in view that, then all things work for the good if it conforms us into the image of Jesus. You see? That's what good is in God's eyes. From God's point of view, the trials and things we walk through, if we get hurt, we have pain, you know, we have loss, we have these things. God, if we could put on God's eyes and look at it, it says, this is good because this is making them like my Son. That's the ultimate of what good is in God's vocabulary, his definition of what good is. And so Paul is saying, hey, whatever makes me more like Jesus is good. Whether it's in the power of his resurrection or in the fellowship of his suffering, if I'm going to be more like, we're ultimately all going to be there. Because see, as you read on here, he says, because those who he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. See, that's the ultimate, 1 John 3:2. And on it says, we're going to be like him. When that day comes, we will be like Jesus. We will be conformed into his image. We will be put on a glorious body, eternal, incorruptible body, and dwell with him and be like him. And so if that's the ultimate goal that God has for us, then if we look in God's eyes and point of view, we should be future-minded and heavenly-minded, because this is the ultimate. This is the finish line for us. And so whatever we walk through on earth, if we allow it to make us more like Jesus, then it's good. You see? And sometimes many want to reject the fellowship of suffering as being bad. Now, if it makes you more like Jesus, it's good. You see what I'm saying here? Okay, so we've got that under the control. Let's read on through verse 16, the rest of chapter 4 of Philippians. And there's something that'll happen in our lives just by recognizing and walking in this. It's a thing called joy, and it's unspeakable, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's not controlled by circumstances or trials. It's beyond all of that. It's because there's an anchor in my soul that I know I'm going to be like Jesus someday, and he's just working me that towards that end in this walk in this world. And there's something that takes hold of us and carries us through. It's strength. There's great strength in a future hope this morning, guys. There really is. And we'll get through. We're all going to make it, you know? We all are. He says so. We're already glorified in God's eyes. That's mind-boggling, you see. Because just as he knew that we would receive Christ into our hearts from the beginning of time, he also knew that we would be just like Jesus someday. And it's a done deal in God's eyes. That is something to hold on to this morning. He says, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected. You know, a sign of maturity, of a Christian maturity, is realize that we're not perfect. Took me a while to figure that one out. But, and my wife tells me I'm perfect all the time. It's hard to fight, kick against that, you know. But anyway, she's shaking her head no. Okay.